We're going to read from verses 1 through 10 of Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 1 through 10. 983, I think, is the page in the Pew Bible. So let's read from there a moment. Colossians 2, 1 to 10. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, and these are the next two verses, our text. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. You may be seated now, congregation. And let's ask that God's word may be a blessing to us, having had it read and now having it ministered to us. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We're grateful that your word always accomplishes what it sets out to do. It never goes out in vain that way. We're grateful that you will accomplish what you want in this hour that way as your word is ministered. May it be indeed the gospel that we hear. Help it to be faithful, Father, to the text, relevant to our lives, and God glorifying above all. May your spirit be so at work in us then, we pray, in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this weekend, of course, has been one in which people have been expressing their gratitude in our country. We've been called to that. I recall, it's kind of somewhat nostalgic for me a little bit, I guess. This was the first week, the first Thanksgiving weekend, and really the first Thanksgiving that I haven't led a Thanksgiving Day service in 34 years, because in our United Reformed Churches and back when I was a pastor in the Christian Reformed Church, the churches where I served, had Thanksgiving Day services. And so this past Thursday, my son, who is at the OPC in South Holland, said to me, do you want to come to our services? And I said, yeah, that would be great. And so it was good to be able to have that service. But I realized that when I came here today and I heard that you had a soup supper on Wednesday, and then you had some time to reflect in Thanksgiving, I think that was a great thing that you were able to do. I saw a few pictures of that. I say, good for you that you did that and that you had that opportunity to meet as God's people, as well as, you know, during this weekend to be able to be with some family. But I would have to make a little bit of a confession that this morning I'm trying to keep my streak alive a little bit. In that you'll probably notice that this service has kind of been laced with Thanksgiving. And we're having a sermon that's entitled Abounding in Thanksgiving. And I like to take a few moments then on this Thanksgiving weekend, and of course this is the Lord's Day, that's most important, to be able to consider this calling that we have from the Apostle Paul about abounding in thanksgiving. It's remarkable, really, throughout the world and over the ages, the different nations, the different places where you're going to find people taking time out of their lives to give thanks. You've heard this, no doubt, that Thanksgiving as a holiday is most popular around the world. Our Canadian brothers and sisters celebrate it in the month of October. Different countries around the world have different months in which they do that. The UK has harvest festivals. Nigeria celebrates in August, and so does Korea. And it's interesting that way that throughout the world, people seem to see the importance of giving thanks. Now, sometimes it's legitimate, sometimes it's illegitimate, to be sure. But deep down inside, there's this understanding that giving thanks is something that we ought to do. Now, questions arise about Thanksgiving. Why should we be doing that? Why is that something that people have this sense that a Thanksgiving needs to be expressed in different ways? How much should it be done? When should it be done? How often? To whom? Now, there's been plenty of people this weekend, and perhaps you were in that boat as well. I know we did this at our home Thursday. It was a blessing for me. I moved to the, actually, I'm in Cedar Lake, Indiana now, but I'm living closer to a lot of my children than I have for a while. And so we were able to be together, and one of the things we do, and maybe this is your practice as well, we come around the table, and as we are about to partake, we want to take a moment to give thanks for something, and it's hard to do just one. But certainly one of the things for us was just as my wife and I were gathered to be able to be with children and grandchildren. That's not always been an easy thing for us to do. But there's a lot of people who've done that. This weekend, you know, they're asking for what people have been asking for. What have you been thankful? And people will give all kinds of answers to that question, and yet at the same time, others are going to find it hard to answer it. And it might be because they just don't live like that. They don't see any reason to thank anyone or at any time, or maybe they're going through a hard time that way. And others might say, well, yeah, I want to give thanks, but to whom do I ultimately give thanks? If we have come to know, though, the blessing of belonging to Christ, well, the Lord directs us by his grace so that we can answer questions very legitimately, like why do we give thanks and to whom do we give thanks and how often do we give thanks and when do we give thanks and how much should we give thanks. As Christians, we've come to understand that Thanksgiving, and that's always a good thing to keep in mind, isn't it? Because people, when they have holidays, they like to kind of put all their chips in one basket or all their eggs in one basket and say, well, today I'm going to be thankful. You can't restrict that to a day in the Christian life, right? As Christians, we've come to understand that Thanksgiving is not just for one day out of a year, you know, any more than well, like my father-in-law used to say, well, every day's Father's Day, because you need to honor your parents all the time, not just on some day in the middle of June. Right? Or any more than praising God is something that we can just constrict and restrict to one day out of seven on the Lord's Day. Obviously, that's a day of rest and mercy and praise. But to think that that's the only place where we're giving praise is to not give God the full glory he deserves. We can be thankful to know why we need to be thankful, to whom, How often and how much? In this passage that we read this morning, we get a lot of insight that way into these things. We find a calling to a very remarkable kind of living when it comes to gratitude, when it comes to thanksgiving. And now, it wouldn't be the only place you'd find that in the scriptures, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is classic for this, where we read that in all circumstances we are to be thankful. Or when you read from Philippians 4, and you read in that passage and it says to you, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And that as you're bringing your petitions and you're called not to be anxious, you're always to be bringing those petitions with thanksgiving to God. So as you're praying always, you're giving thanks always. Here, though, the calling isn't a matter so much of how often, but how much in our text. How we are called to abound with thanksgiving. So how do we do that? Well, our passage says we need to be rooted in Christ and walk in Christ. To be rooted in Christ and to walk in Christ. And we want to look at those things with a little bit more attention this morning. Abounding thanksgiving, like our passage says, that can seem like a pretty tall order. Especially when the circumstances that you might be facing or that I might be facing as you get older and older, that you face them more. They apparently point in a different direction. They point in an opposite direction. What we must remember, however, is that while circumstances may change, the grace of God in Jesus Christ doesn't change for the believer. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. The wisdom that our passage said is hidden in Christ, found in Christ. These are the things that promote this kind of thanksgiving to which we're called. When it comes to rejoicing in the Lord, some would say, well, you can't always do that. And similarly with thanksgiving. But the joy of the Lord is our strength can remain despite the circumstance, because the circumstance is directed by and under the control of the very Lord that said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that doesn't change. That's why we're able to rejoice. That's why we're able to give thanks to the Lord. It's not so much the circumstance that dictates things. It's the Lord on whom we can depend. My comfort that way, my joy is that none of these circumstances can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because otherwise it's the circumstance that rules me. But it doesn't, right? As we would say in the Reformed corners, our only comfort in life and in death is that we're not our own, but we belong to Christ in life and in death. And that's why there may always be that joy in the Lord, which is really the praise of God. And why there may also then be thanksgiving in the Lord, indeed an over, not only just a thanksgiving or a token gratitude, but an overflowing thanks. From where Paul is standing, the reason for overflowing thanks is based then not on the trying moment. Or the struggle, like he talks about, that he's finding himself facing. Interesting. You know, I found this, and maybe you found that too, in those days of COVID when we couldn't be together. All of a sudden, all these passages that spoke about not being able to be face-to-face just showed up for me. You know, how great it was to be able to be back together. You know, there were times back in these days, in biblical days, where it was not easy to be together. Right? Traveling wasn't easy. Circumstances were very trying. And you see Paul talking about the struggle that he has and how, you know, there's this longing to be together as God's people. But from where he's standing, this overflowing thanksgiving then isn't something that's going to be based, first of all, on the trying moment. It's based on what the believers in Colossae had accepted. They had accepted that predominating good news of Jesus Christ. That good news always trumped every other kind of bad news that might come into people's lives. They've been connected to the vine. They've been rooted to the life source. They've been founded by the bedrock of Jesus Christ. And the apostle illustrates that establishment here by speaking of both an organic foundation that way. It speaks very much of an organic foundation, the root, and a non-organic foundation of the building in our passage. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Christ is the basis. It's the essential basis for overflowing thanksgiving. The apostle, who has great concern for the church in Colossae and in Laodicea, as he's struggling for them because he's apart from them. You know, this is one of those things I find too, that I've had a chance to go to some different churches. You're as a person who's actively ministering, you're in a place for a long time. You know, I was about 5 years one place, 8 years another place, 15 years another place, 6 years another place. Now I get a chance to go to different congregations, and it's enjoyable to go to. You're going into different places. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been in Ontario, and I've been in Michigan, and now I'm here in Wisconsin. But you're always able to be amongst God's people. You see Paul struggling with that. He's apart in person, but he's near in spirit. But thankfully, the ground that is the basis for thanksgiving, more than that, abounding thanksgiving, is something that he's able to convey to them unto their encouragement and certainly unto their direction. He didn't lay it with riches or pleasure. He didn't lay it with fame or trouble-free living, because if he did that, there wouldn't be a constant reason for a life of abundant thanksgiving. Life isn't that way for us, is it? Day in and day out. Well, no, we may gain, and we may have pleasure, and we may have some popularity, and we might win at a few things, and we may have things go right, but not all the time. Now, does that mean you shouldn't be giving thanks to the Lord when things do go well, or when you've received enough for the day, or when you've been kept from trouble, or when you've known the love of others? Well, that, of course, would be a silly thought. If we're not giving thanks in those occasions, if we're forgetting God in those occasions, then we've really got a deep, serious spiritual problem. And it's not something that's unusual, of course, right? Because there's plenty of people who would say, well, who's the Lord when everything's going all right? But the foundation for abundant thanksgiving, legitimate, abundant thanksgiving, what roots us in abundant thanksgiving, which is also the focus of the sacrament this morning, is the gospel of Christ. It's Christ. It's about God's grace. It's about the source of our wisdom and understanding. It's found in Christ. It's the light for the path that has been given to us through the Savior and the Lord. The apostle struggles and wrestles as he writes to Colossae because false teachers were attacking. And what they were trying to do is what people try to do to you today. They try to sap you. They try to sap you of your reason for thanksgiving. That's the pressure you get in an unbelieving world. They want to empty people of the teaching of Christ, of his wisdom, of his gospel, of his grace, of his mercy, of his peace. And then that way, they can also sap them of their thankful hearts. And you see that all around you. And you're tempted towards that. I'm tempted towards that. See, because if you don't have Christ, without Christ, that spirit of thanksgiving, which is so essential to drive us in life, I mean, let alone abundant things, we find it elusive. Without Christ, then we're without thanks. Good thanks, legitimate thanks. Our society has such a hard time that way, being thankful. Do you ever notice that? Yeah, I drive up here, and I use this illustration more often, but I drive up here and I see all the lawyers with a hammer in their hand and about how they're going to be able to nail somebody for you or whatever advertisement they like to use, and they just really beat it into your head. Because I mentioned this a few weeks ago, preaching to somebody to a different congregation, and just about how discontent tends to be the balm of people, and getting money from out of somebody else, getting what you think you have coming to you, because you never have this ultimate sense of gratitude that you can give to a great and gracious God. So you have to suck it out of somebody else. And even when you get it from them, even when you get what you feel like you have coming to you, even after you get your pound of flesh, you're still not happy. You're still not grateful. In fact, that's just not how anybody views you. They don't view you as a grateful person. That's society's way. It's a society that lacks satisfaction and contentment because it doesn't know Christ as the satisfying bread of life. Paul wants to keep these people from that error. He wants them to see that true living is to please their Savior with thanks, abundant thanks, and to show a love towards those around them. But that thanksgiving starts from within. It starts with the heart. Paul wants these people's hearts fortified. He wants to strengthen the church with the truths of Christ's word and Christ's gospel and knitting them together then in love. Paul knows that if people are sent off in the direction of falsehood, there is nothing but emptiness and vanity there, and self-centeredness. It's only in Christ that you find your sufficiency and your fullness. Only in Christ is there reason for abundant thanks. Everything else is empty in comparison, and that emptiness cannot provide reason for abundant thanksgiving. Why would you want to show it? Teachers in Colossae were sapping thanksgiving out of people's lives. Anything physical was considered taboo. Don't handle, don't touch, don't taste. Things that God created that could be used, if received with thanksgiving, were rejected. They were promoting an ascetic life, which God had never taught. And it was why the apostle had to say to these people later on in that passage we're very familiar with, whatever you do in word and in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And why he would say elsewhere, everything God created is good and nothing's to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. The false teacher's spiritual life and teaching was devoid of grace. And that's what we see in our world around us. Life becomes all about what I can gain and nothing about being grateful to anyone or anything. Life without a knowledge of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is sapped of thanksgiving. And so then what ends up happening is we live our lives and we go to the grave and you ask somebody, well, what is it? What do you remember about them? Well, it isn't going to be gratitude. It isn't. Discontent, moaning, groaning in our desire for what we believe we have coming to us, that we think will satisfy us and never does. People are always talking about reparations and how we got to pay for our past sins in society, right? But it's never enough. It never is. Can never get on to gratitude because we really never really know what it is to receive the riches of Christ. If we don't believe that God is gracious in Jesus Christ, gratefulness and grateful living eludes us. No one deserves abundant thanksgiving like the abundantly gracious God in Jesus Christ. It's Christ where all the treasures of wisdom and understanding are stored, our passage says. And when we turn elsewhere for that wisdom, for that grace, for that help, we just won't be known for our grateful living. In trying times and testing times, the apostle doesn't want us to be disillusioned. In order for our lives to be marked by an abundance of thanksgiving, so people will see us and say, you know, there goes a grateful person. You could just see that there's something that makes that person tick that way that I want to have. Well, in order to be marked like that, then the only way that's going to happen, the apostle would say, is when we're rooted in Christ, we're established in Christ, we appreciate what Christ has done. Together, then we can grow together in love, stronger, and in the process, ward off that attitude of a world that sees no reason for thanks, let alone abundant thanks. Of course, it's one thing to know why we need to be thankful. It's another thing to live like that. We need to be rooted in Christ, but our passage says we also need to live or to walk in Christ, literally to walk in Christ. So how do you do that? Well, abundant thanksgiving receives all that the Lord provides in his creation and uses it for the glory of God. That's what Paul's going to say later in Colossians. Even when we eat and drink. Abundant thanksgiving is a life. It's not a day. It's a journey. We are walking with Christ. We're walking in Christ. It's not a destination per se. Our passage calls us to walk in Christ. Abundant thanksgiving looks at each new day, every day that when we get up, as a day where Christ is worthy of our all. In a grateful spirit, heart, mind, soul, strength, because we know that we stand in grace. We have known the abundant grace of God. Not just that we're waiting for it, we've known it. And nobody deserves that kind of thanksgiving in our lives except for this God in Christ. We can thank people for services that they've done for us. We can thank them for the leadership that they give us. We can thank them for their generosity. We can thank them for their sacrifice. But we're all called to believe that nobody has given to us like the God and Father who did not spare his Son but gave him up for us all and who has promised to give us along with him graciously all things. Who deserves abundant thanks like that except him? No one has given like the Son who, while we were yet sinners, he died for us when we make that confession. Nobody has given like the Holy Spirit who gave life to our dead hearts. Nobody else can do that. Nobody's given like the triune God who used people in our lives in his providence and power for our good and for his glory. Nobody gives like that. No one deserves more thanks and overflowing thanks like the one who has promised to graciously give us all things along with the son he didn't spare. And we're reminded of that and sure of that today. Abundant thanksgiving is the blossom and the fruit of the tree of faith. It's a command to the faithful, but it's the hallmark of the faithful, saved by grace, isn't it? It's the hallmark. It isn't just a begrudging thanks. It's not just a courteous thank. Oh, thank you for giving me the change. It's not just a ceremonial thanks where we go through the motion, but it's an overflowing thanks, like water overflowing its banks. If I overflow the tub at home, there's no place for that water where that water won't flow. Upstairs, every room, main floor, basement, out the window. Not that I had that happen to me, but it's that kind of thanks the Lord deserves from us, though, isn't it? Every area to the top in prayer and praise and practice. And I know we're fragile creatures, we're sinful, we grow weary, we get discouraged. There's times, no doubt, in your life, I know it's happened in my life, where I want to say, you know, what do I want to be a part of this? Because of the pain, because of the trials, because of the things that have happened. Overflowing thanks might seem like a tall order to you and to me. And maybe sounds a bit overboard. When we're overwhelmed and we're lonely and we're struggling and we're sorrowing and we're sinners and times are tough. But your God is there through it all. Your joy, your Redeemer, your strength, your balm. He's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to be with you always. And that's another thing that you were reminded and assured of today, right? As we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, knowing that the communion of our Christ is there for us. He's your comfort and joy. He's the reason for overflowing thanks, even when the tears do fall and the pain is real, and the pain is real. Who has more reason to be thankful then? Overflowingly thankful than a person who's come to know the grace of Jesus Christ. If anyone has reason to be thankful that way today, it is those of you today who by faith have come to know, who could say today, I have known the abundant grace of God in my life in Jesus Christ. And so that's why the apostle would say to you and say to me, abound in thanks. In every area that you can, it's your calling, it's your life, and it's the best way to live. And you have every reason to do it when you've come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. You have every reason to do it when you're part of the beloved of the Lord. And you will. You'll live like that. And you focus on Christ, which is what we want to see happening here in the Lord's Supper as well. The moment for us here in worship to sacramentally focus on Christ, that very focus that we're to have all our lives so that we don't grow weary or lose heart. Amen. Let's pray a moment, shall we, in response to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment we've had to touch on a passage that speaks to us of our calling to live abundantly before you, not in the sense of material things, but in a spirit, Lord, a spiritual spirit, where in every aspect of our lives, even our eating and drinking, whatever we do, that we would abound in thanksgiving because we've known the abundance of belonging to Christ. Lord, as we consider being rooted in Christ and called to walk in Christ, who is it, Lord, that deserves such an abundance of thanks like you do, along with your Son and Spirit, the one only God? Help us then, Father, as we think about the calling to be rooted in Christ, to walk in Christ, to focus on Christ, even as we're called to in this communion supper as well. May you accept our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.